Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Sunday, June 14th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league, kicking things off with the bad news as outfielder Michael Hellman was placed on the 10-day IL with a fractured hand. He's likely to miss probably a month or two. And with both Hellman and Evan Carter on the injured list, outfielder Alejandro Osuna, who was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move, will see most of the playing time in center field for the Rangers. Next, reliever Keaton Wynn was placed on the 15-day IL with an elbow strain. An MRI came back clean, so Wynn could miss just the minimum time with this elbow injury. Reliever Tristan Beck was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move, but with Wynn on the IL, Ryan Walker will be the top right-handed setup option for the Giants, while Caleb Killian tightens his grip on the closer role in San Francisco. Next, catcher Freddie Fermin was placed on the 7-day IL with a concussion, and with Luis Campusano also on the injured list, catcher Rodolfo Duran will be the everyday catcher for the Padres, and catcher Blake Hunt was selected from the minors in a corresponding move and will be the backup backstop to Duran in San Diego. Next, first baseman Vinny Pasquantino was placed on the 10-day IL with a fractured hamate, on which he underwent surgery. Pasquantino will miss roughly 4 to 8 weeks recovering from the fracture and subsequent surgery. And with Pasquantino out, Jack Caglione will come in from the outfield and man first base full-time for the Royals, while Lane Thomas takes over for Caglione in right field. Outfielder John Rave was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. And lastly, third baseman Jose Ramirez was placed on the 10-day IL with, as well, a fractured hamate and subsequent surgery. Ramirez will be on the same 4 to 8 week timeline as Pasquantino. And man, these bird bones in batters' hands are really fragile, and it's really frustrating when they go down, especially because it's often the case that when these guys return from these injuries, their power is sapped. Hopefully that's not the case for either of these guys, especially Pasquantino, who's struggled mightily this year and hasn't had the power we expected from him with the new dimensions in Kansas City. But Joe Ram's a perennial MVP candidate, future Hall of Famer, so we want to see him come back just as strong as he left. Shortstop Gabriel Arias was activated from the 60-day IL on a corresponding move to Ramirez's IL placement. He's missed a couple months with a hamstring strain, and he should take over at the hot corner to replace Joe Ram on the Guardians. In terms of transactions, outfielder Tyler Freeman was activated from the 7-day IL after missing a week with a concussion after being hit in the head by a Jacob Mizorowski fastball, which you know is serious because of how fast that guy can throw. He threw the hardest pitch ever by a starting pitcher the other day. Freeman will be on the short side of a DH platoon for the Rockies, but he could find more full-time work if Edouard Julien plays second base and Willie Castro continues to roam around the field for the Rockies. Second baseman Chad Stevens was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And lastly, catcher Jose Trevino was activated from the 10-day IL after missing time with a hamstring strain. Trevino will return to being the backup catcher to Tyler Stevenson, as catcher PJ Higgins was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And in terms of news, Tommy Edman, who's been out all year with ankle surgery, is expected to be activated from the 60-day IL tomorrow to rejoin the Dodgers. Edman will likely take over the everyday role at second base, sending Alex Freeland to the bench. Next, shortstop Cooper Pratt is expected to have his contract selected from the minors tomorrow. He's the Brewers' number 4 prospect and is the number 63 prospect in MLB. He signed an extension with the Brewers earlier this year, and it's unclear if Pratt will immediately get an everyday role, but he should replace Joey Ortiz at shortstop. He's not a huge offensive threat, so I don't think he's somebody that you need to go grabbing in fantasy immediately. Next, starting pitcher Hunter Brown is expected to be activated from the 60-day IL tomorrow to take on the Tigers. Brown has been out for a couple of months with a strained shoulder, and prior to that, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball, so we're excited to welcome Hunter Brown back to the majors. And lastly, starting pitcher Casey Mize is expected to be activated from the 15-day IL on Thursday, but the probable starter suggests that Mize may not start until Saturday versus the White Sox. Mize has been out with a strained groin, but if he has a strained groin. Wow. Casey Mize has been very good recently because of an improved slider. So hopefully he comes back with that slider intact. Now we can take a look at our notable performances from Sunday, a day in which we had just 14 games as the matchup between the Tigers and Guardians was postponed due to inclement weather. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with a pair of Rockies as they set a franchise record with 23 runs versus the A's in Las Vegas. It's surprising that not only is that their franchise record, but that they set the franchise record outside of the notably hitter-friendly Coors Field. Let's start with catcher Hunter Goodman, who obviously helped the Rockies to a win in Las Vegas, going 5-for-6 with 3 runs, a double, 2 home runs, and 4 runs batted in. Goodman is up to 20 homers on the year now. First one went 421 feet at 106 miles per hour, and because of the technology or lack thereof in Las Vegas in that minor league stadium, the second homer was not tracked. But Goodman is tied for Jackson Churio for the most home runs in June with 7. He's also one of 7 players in baseball with 20 homers on the season, and he leads all catchers in long ball. So Goodman surpassing the breakout campaign he had last year. His teammate Willie Castro also had a big game, going 4-for-6 with 3 runs, 2 home runs, 7 runs batted in, and a walk for good measure. He's up to 5 homers on the year now. As I said before, the technology wasn't spectacular in the minor league stadium, so his first homer wasn't tracked, but his second homer was, and it went 444 feet at 105 miles per hour, and it was a grand slam, accounting for 4 of Castro's 7 RBIs. It's been a different season for Castro. His power is down with a career low ISO, which is isolated power. It's slugging percentage minus batting average, basically the amount of extra base hits you're getting, because if you remove the batting average, it takes out all the singles. But Castro has become much better in the batting average department, despite not making extra contact or striking out less. And it's likely mostly a product of calling Coors Field home. Its BABIP inflating properties have made him a much, much better contributor in the batting average department. His BABIP is up to 361, inflating Castro's average to 278 after this 4-hit game. It does help that he's hitting the ball hard more consistently, with career highs in average exit velocity and hard hit rate, which may be driven by an increased average bat speed nearing 73 miles per hour. Castro, though, is borderline in standard leagues without any standout skill, unless you count that batting average. The 5 homers and 5 steals aren't really spectacular. They're not getting you excited, but his multi-position eligibility and spot at the top of the Rockies order make Castro awesome in deeper leagues. And lastly, we have first baseman Wilson Contreras, who did all he could, but the Cardinals lost to the Rangers. He went 3-for-4 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, and 2 runs batted in. He's up to 16 homers on the season. First one went 392 feet at 102 miles per hour, and the second one 337 feet at 94 miles per hour. Contreras is in the midst of a career-best offensive campaign, batting a career-high 304 with a career-high ISO and obviously a career-high WRC+, around 160. Is it driven by anything other than a career-best 361 BABIP or fortunate home run to fly ball luck? Fortunately for fantasy managers who roster Contreras, it's actually real. He has a career high barrel rate around 15% and is taking advantage of the green monster in Fenway Park, pulling the ball 15% often, more often than he has throughout his career, while also sporting a career high fly ball rate. It helps that Contreras is also making more zone contact than ever, allowing him to tap into the power that he's displayed this year. And while Contreras won't hold this pace for the whole year as his BABIP luck subsides, I think Contreras has reached a level offensively that's superior to anything he's done before in his career. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Sunday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Paul Skeens, who did all he could, but the Pirates lost to the Marlins. He went 6 innings, allowing 4 hits and 2 earned runs, walking 1, while fanning 10, inducing 23 whiffs with 35% CSW across 104 pitches. And Skeens earned the golden goal by leading baseball with those 23 whiffs to earn the gallows pole, and earning the King Cole by leading baseball with 35% CSW. Skeens has had an uncharacteristically up and down season with some struggles, but he locked in with his second 20 plus whiff game of the year, producing his third 10 strikeout game of the season. His four seamer drove it all with 12 whiffs upstairs, and Paul Skeens is still dope, and he should probably hold on to that number one SP title on the list moving forward. Max Meyer on the other side of that game helped the Marlins to win in Pittsburgh, tossing six innings, allowing six hits and one run, walking three while striking out nine. He induced 15 whiffs with 34% CSW across 105 pitches. And while Meyer's four-seam fastball IVB fell, which is a little bit concerning, his signature breakers stepped up, combining for 14 whiffs, low and glove side. Meyer can still cook when his heater isn't at its best because of how elite his slider and sweeper are. He's been incredible this season. Seven wins, no losses, 2.75 ERA, and a 1.12 whip for Max Meyer. From one MM to another, Miles Mikolas helped the Nationals to win against the Mariners with seven shutout innings, allowing just three hits, walking nobody, and fanning three. He induced just four whiffs, so 27% CSW across 83 pitches. And Mikolas was a tick up on his entire arsenal, which helped him to avoid damage in the zone and get away with a ton of fortunate batted ball luck as he went 17 for 20 on outs on balls in play. We haven't had many reasons to give props to Mikolas this year, but this is consecutive scoreless outings for the righty as he attempts to drop his ERA below five. The lack of whiffs and reliance on batted ball luck are glaring red flags, and he's still miles away from being fantasy relevant. Lastly, we have Steven Kolek, who helped the Royals to win against the Astros, tossing seven and a third scoreless innings, allowing just five hits and one walk while striking out four. He induced 12 whiffs with 26% CSW across 97 pitches. And Kolek's been a stable Toby all year with a 2.68 ERA, a 1.03 whip, and a Toby-like 17% strikeout rate. His slider command was exceptional low and glove side yesterday, leading to eight whiffs and 44% CSW, while four seamers and cutters stepped up at the top of the zone to make up for sinkers that either landed down the middle or way out of the zone, producing a surprising 0% CSW on the sinker. Don't expect high strikeout totals from Kolek, but trust him to get you wins, quality starts, and decent ratios as a Toby. Kolek is streamable versus the Cardinals next. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Sunday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Pete Fairbanks worked around a solo shot for his ninth save. Mason Miller recorded his NL-leading 19th save with a perfect four-out outing. Paul Sewald recorded his 17th save with a hitless ninth. Yoendris Gomez had a perfect ninth for his sixth save. Sir Anthony Dominguez worked around a run for his 12th save. Aberson Castellano had a three-inning save to record the first save of his career. And lastly, Jacob Latz recorded his 11th save with a perfect four-out outing. And in terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Caleb Killian pitched a perfect ninth up by four after the Giants tacked on an insurance run in the eighth to blow his save opportunity. Andrés Muñoz allowed two runs without recording an out, pitching the eighth down by six. Muñoz hadn't pitched since last Monday, and the Mariners are off today, so this was a good opportunity for them to get him a maintenance outing. Rico Garcia allowed a two-run homer, pitching the seventh down by one, and it seems like the Orioles might be preparing Garcia for his future high-leverage role with Ryan Helsley on the verge of returning from the injured list. David Bednar pitched a scoreless ninth up by five after the Yankees scored five runs in the top half, and lastly, Brian Baker pitched a perfect ninth up by five. He hadn't pitched since last Tuesday, so this was a maintenance outing for Brian Baker. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Monday, June 15th, a day in which we'll just have 10 games on our slate. My matchup of the day is Walbert Urania versus Ryne Nelson. Urania has been great all year. I want to see him keep dominating with that changeup while showcasing that the empty velocity on his sinker and four-seamer aren't going to hurt him. And I'd love to see him take a step forward with that sweeper against righties, while Ryne Nelson has the great fastball and the sort of mediocre secondaries. I really think he's going to be solid for the rest of the year. And he's giving me, like, you know, Bryce Miller vibes because he's got such a great fastball without the great secondaries, but he hasn't shown that this year. I think it's going to be a great matchup for him against the Angels. In terms of probable starters, we've got two guys in the auto starts tier, including Zach Wheeler versus the Marlins and Chase Burns versus the Mets. Our probably starts tier has three guys, and our questionable starts tier has eight. And that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Eric Lauer versus the Rays. He's got a great win opportunity pitching for the Dodgers. And while the increased velocity on the cutter and the emphasis on that pitch has helped Lauer survive his first two starts. The ceiling is very low. This is really just a win play with Eric Lauer against the Rays. I'd also keep an eye out for Kaiwei Tang versus the Tigers. He's in the do not start tier, so I don't really suggest streaming him. It's a very thin day if you're looking for streamers that are rostered in 20% or less of Yahoo leagues. But Tang is somebody that if he can find enough success with his supporting offerings for his elite sweeper, then he can find a way to find success through five innings. But I wouldn't really expect it from Tang versus the Tigers. In terms of hitter suggestions, I target Mets and Reds hitters in Great American Ballpark. One of the best hitters parks in baseball. We'll see Tobias Meyer square off against Chase Burns. I'd also target Cubs hitters versus Michael Lorenzen in Wrigley Field, as Lorenzen has a 7.54 ERA, the highest in the majors this season. And I'd also target Pirates and A's hitters in Sutter Health Park. It's a great hitters park as well, as it's a minor league park in the hot weather of Sacramento. We'll see Jared Jones square off against JT Ginn in that one. And now we can close things out with our relievers to watch. We have just one bullpen to pay attention to, as Paul Sewald has pitched in three of the past 4 days. So if the Diamondbacks decide to give Sewald the day off, it won't be Juan Murillo taking over for him, because he's also pitched on back-to-back days. So look for Kevin Ginkle or Jonathan Loaisiga to get a save opportunity for the Diamondbacks if one arises on Monday. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.